There you go. One of our own daycare kids right there. No. Not so much, Mom. Oh, it's Mother's Day. I love it. It's Mother's Day, and we're gonna honor our moms this morning. And you know what's amazing is dads, just to kind of let you know, it's Mother's Day. Mother's Day, it's one of those days that gets a little more attention than Father's Day. Just a little more, okay? In fact, in the church calendar year, it is the third most attended day in church. There's Easter, and there's Christmas, and there's Mother's Day. And we'll talk about that in a minute, but I want to talk about this crazy love. The last piece that I can think about is talking about mothers and their crazy love for their kids. You watch a mother with her kids, and I mean, it is off the charts. A mother's love is the fuel. A mother's love is the fuel that enables the normal human being to do the impossible. It's true. And you think about moms. You know what's amazing is I went fishing with my boys, which is great. But mothers, I got to tell you, your love, it motivates kings and warriors and dancers and princesses. And there's something about moms, it's just not the same. I mean, I'm out fishing with my boys. I call it fishing. I was out with my boys, okay? We had a great time. I mean, catching these fish, they caught these fish and caught some incredible fish, had a great time. And they couldn't wait to get home, you know, to tell their mother. You know, it's amazing, isn't that something, when something happens? I mean, you watch these sporting events, these huge warrior guys on an NFL football team. I mean, 285-pound, 6'10" linebacker that chews up quarterbacks for a living. You know, he busts through a line, he knocks down the quarterback, just crushes him, the ball comes loose, he picks it up, runs into the end zone, spikes the ball down, goes over, finds a camera, and says, "Hey, Mom, thanks, you're number one. Where's Dad?" You know, Dad got crushed a few times with that boy growing up. Moms, I mean, you know, you got soldiers, I'm sure today their soldiers just honor their moms, you know, getting tattoos on their arm. Well, I love Mom. You don't hear about guys going, hey, come here, guys, look what I just got. Dad. It just doesn't happen. Now, if you have one, we probably need to talk a little bit. It just, you don't find guys doing that. Why? Because they're honoring their moms. Because why? There's something about a mother's love that's just different than a father's love. When I say that is, God created a mother, and he revealed himself through Eve in part of his nature and said, here's a different form of love. I want you, this is a different way that I want to show you my love. You know what's amazing to me is it's almost like God said, okay, Adam, I'm going to show the human race my love through the man. That's what I would like to call the Old Testament God. And Eve, I'm going to show my love to you, and that's kind of that New Testament kind of love. You know what I'm talking about? It's just different. Old Testament, God says, you know what, boys? You mess up, and I'm going to crush you. New Testament, oh, turn the other cheek. What's the big deal? You know, it's kind of a different, it's like God took these two and says, I want to reveal my two natures. Now, there's nothing wrong with either one, you know. A dad wants the best for his son. So what does he do? He's like, you know what, come on, boy, pick yourself up by your bootstrap. Obey me. When you're under my roof, you'll do. Well, that's that Old Testament, you know, kind of love. It was motivated out of a heart to say, come on, get it together. But you got that New Testament love. Oh, turn the other cheek. Oh, love one another. I'll pray for them when they mess up. And that's kind of that mom side of it, you know. I don't know what your house was like, but that describes my house to a T. I mean, my dad's coming in. Boy, you're going to be out on the street. Oh, don't be so mean to him. He meant, but I mean, it's an amazing thing between mom and dad. And so where did I go when I wanted something in my house? I went to the New Testament love. Mom, what did your father say? Wow, I don't live under the law. I don't want to go to dad. It's a different kind of love. In fact, Irma Bombeck, some of you remember her column she used to have, Irma Bombeck used to write, and she had a column, and she wrote about the day that God created mom. And she said it goes something like this. She said, one of my favorite things is the day that God created moms. He'd already worked long overtime, and an angel said to him, Lord, you're spending an awful lot of time on this one, on this model. And the Lord turned and said, Have you read the specs on this model? She's supposed to be completely washable, but she's not plastic. She's to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She's to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She is to have a lap that will disappear whenever she stands up. She's to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. And she's supposed to have 6 pairs of hands. And the angel said, 6 pairs of hands? That's impossible. Oh, it's not the 6 pairs of hands, said the Lord, that bother me. It's the 3 pairs of eyes that she has. 3 pairs of eyes? Yes, the Lord said. 3 pairs of eyes. She's supposed to have 1 pair that sees right through doors so that whenever she says, what are you kids doing in there? She already knows what those kids are doing in there. Right? She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things she's not supposed to see, but must see. And then she has a pair right in front of her that can look at a child that just messed up and communicate love and understanding without saying a word. That's too much, said the angel. You can't put that much into one model. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow? No, I can't, said the Lord. I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she's sick, who can feed a family of 6 with 1 pound of hamburger, and who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower. Moms, are you getting it? The angel said, can she think? Not only can she think, said the Lord, but she can reason, compromise, and persuade. And the angel reached over and he touched the model's cheek. Well, this one has a leak. I told you that you couldn't put that much in one model. That's not a leak, said the Lord. That's a tear. And the angel said, what's a tear? Well, a tear is something that's for joy, it's for sadness, it's for sorrow, disappointment, it's for pride. You're a genius, said the angel. And the Lord said, oh, but I didn't put the tear there. That's on her own. Wow. God making moms. God making moms. You know, moms, I'd say way to go, because behind every successful man is a great mom. Abraham Lincoln said, everything I am and everything I ever hope to be, I owe to my mother. Wow. Sorry, dads. You'll have to wait till June 19th when a few of us will come out and say, oh, yeah, Dad, thanks. Dad's like, hey, you know what? Just leave me alone for the day. That'll be fine. Let me just have a cave time and I'm just good. Right, dads? Abraham Lincoln said that. He says, everything I owe, everything I am. Aristotle said this, mothers are fonder than fathers of their own children. Mothers are more fonder than fathers of their children because they are more sure that they're their own. Aristotle. I'm just reading it what it says. Well, yeah, you carried them for 9 months. You better know your kids. An Irish proverb says this, a man loves his sweetheart the most. A man loves his wife the best, but a man loves his mother the longest. You know, there's something about a mother that's just amazing. We read in Proverbs all this stuff about mom. We just read through Proverbs. You know, the one thing about it is Proverbs talks about moms. On a day like today, it's no wonder across America, guys are going to church, and they're packing in churches with their moms. First service, we had the same thing. I looked at first service, I thought, this isn't Easter. What are all these people doing? Because guys, we go to church, right? Because mom wants us to go to church. So we got to go get mom and go to church. We got to go have lunch because it's mom, right? And the Proverbs actually talks about this. In Proverbs 25, the scripture says this. It says in Proverbs, I think we have that, don't we? Proverbs says about your moms. You know why it's one of the highest attended days? Because it says, may your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Now, that's a great translation. But I have a translation from the Greek that actually says this. May your father and mother be glad. In other words, keep mom and dad happy. But you know what this says? But may your mother who gave you birth be happy. And you know what the translation is? You know why people are in church today? Because if mother ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I know you probably didn't know that was a scripture. There it is. You now have it in Proverbs 23:25. May she who gave you birth be happy. Keep mama happy. Okay? And so everybody shows up to church today. You know what I love about Proverbs 31? It's one of those scriptures that is being read all over the world in churches. And it's like, it says, you know, a good mother, she gets up early in the morning before the sun rises, before her kids. She starts kneading out the dough. She's baking fresh bread for breakfast. She's milking the cows before we even get out of bed. She stays up all day long working the fields. She earns her own living by knitting and sewing. She can even go out and harvest before the day's over. She works through the night, and when she's done with dishes at night, she stays up all night, even when the candle's burning, getting ready for the next day. That's what Proverbs 31, and then it says this. It says all that, but the very first part of it says, a good woman, who can find? A good woman. You know, to find a woman like that, I mean, how many of you say, hey, honey, I just really, and you know, so today, all over the place, pastors are grabbing a hold of this verse going, let's read this. Ladies, this is you. Come on, honestly, how many of you guys are going to go home and say, honey, I want you to be that lady. So before I get up in the morning, make me some fresh bread, go out and milk, make sure there's milk and all this. Yeah, you all want that woman. Yeah, you go ahead. Good luck. Go on, go ahead and tell her that at lunch today. You're going to be that Proverbs 31 woman. And she's going to look at you and she's going to quote it right back. A good woman, who can find? Good luck. You know, it's really not a fair verse. It's not a fair verse because, ladies, it's not that. See, that's what you do. Moms, that's what moms do. I mean, they're the taxi cab drivers. They're shuttling. I mean, they're the soccer moms. They're running from here to there. They're the doctors and the nurses, and they're bandaging up every single boo-boo. I mean, it's an amazing thing. They're running around, they're darning socks, they're cooking, they're cleaning, they're doing this. You might even have a 40-hour-a-week job. It's like, who can find a woman like that? Who can do that? Can I tell you something? That might be what you do, but that's not who you are. I'd like to submit this morning that we take Proverbs 31 and we put it on a beautiful shelf. Ladies, put it on a shelf and say, honey, if you ever want to take that trophy off the shelf, I will hit you over the head with it. Okay, so ladies, put that up on a shelf, Proverbs 31. I'm glad there's a perfect woman like that out there somewhere that wants to live their life that way. God bless you. What it's saying is you probably don't do all of it, but it says a woman of character like that, she is of no, she's worth her weight in jewels, in diamonds and rubies. You want that kind of woman, you better buy some diamonds and rubies. But in the meantime, can I tell you what motivates a mom? As I was looking at scripture, I found a verse that ought to be a new, brand new mom verse. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And this morning, this is all I want to share with you. One verse. And it's so powerful. It says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sin. Now that is crazy love right there. Love covers a multitude. Moms, you are incredible. My mother covers a multitude of sins. But you know what? This isn't a very... This translation doesn't work for me. In the Greek, it reads this way. You'll love this. You'll want to write this. I hope you'll want to write this down. It says this. I'm going to read it from my translation. It says, keep your love for one another at full strength. Isn't that great? Keep your love at full strength. Don't get tired. Don't lose your muscles. Don't kind of walk around going, oh, I'm excited. It says, keep your love at full strength. Love one another with full strength, and that love will be enough to cover a multitude of sins. And that's what a mom is. That's crazy. My mother loved me at full strength. I am so thankful for my mother. I want to tell you three things about this full strength. How to, ladies, how to live a life at full strength. And guys, you ought to encourage this. Number one, I know that a mom's love makes her my biggest fan. Mothers are our biggest fan, guys. Your mother is your greatest fan. It's true. I've seen it. My mother's done it. I don't care if you're a bench warmer on a baseball team. You listen to a mother in the stands, which one's yours? Which one? Oh, my son is the best. My son is the greatest baseball player. I mean, he can hit the ball. He can run. He's faster than everybody. He's the great. He can feel things. He never misses a ball. He's great. Which one's yours? Which one's yours out there? Oh, he's the one sitting on the bench. He's the best. They're just giving all the other players a chance to play to make them feel good. Okay, you listen to moms. Listen, ladies, brag on your kids. Your parents believe in you. Moms, that is the crazy love. I'm looking around and I hear things and it's like, oh, you should see my little Johnny, my little Susie. She's the best. You know what she did the other day? And you'd think it was like something world-changing. Took a step. I got to send you a picture to everybody. It's on Facebook for the world. What did they do? They took a step. Good. Every kid takes a step at some point. But you know what? Brag on your kids. A mother's love is crazy enough to believe for more for you than you believe for yourself. My mom believed in so much more. My mom had crazy love. I remember one night, I mean, my mom believed if I could just become half the man that my mom believes I am, I'm going to do pretty good. I remember, I put my mom through so much. It's just an amazing thing. I'll get to that in just a second. But you'd think, listening to our moms, we were all American all-stars. You know what? You'd think that every kid is an all-star. Well, they can't be all all-stars. A Chinese proverb said, there's only one beautiful child in the world, and every mother has it. You'd think we were all that superstar. I remember hearing about a little boy who went out and his mom just believed in him and he's the best hitter in the whole wide world. And he grabbed a baseball and a bat and he went out in the yard and convinced like his mother told him, he is the greatest hitter that ever played baseball. He took that ball, he threw it up and he swung as hard as he could. And he missed. He said, strike one. He picked up that ball and he dusted himself off. He says, I'm the greatest hitter that ever lived. He threw the ball up and he swung. And he missed again. Strike two. Oh, so determined. He picks up that ball. He says, I'm the greatest baseball hitter that's ever played the game in the whole wide world. And he throws up the ball and he swings and he misses. Strike three. He stopped. I just struck out the greatest hitter in the world. I'm the greatest pitcher that ever lived. And the kid was so excited. Why? Because somewhere a mom was bragging on her son because our kids are the greatest. And we ought to brag on our kids. And that's what that mother love, that's crazy love. And someone might look at your kids and go, you got to be kidding me. And you go, no, they're mine and they're the best. And that's that crazy love. I want to tell you, There was someone in the Bible whose mom walked up to Jesus and said, excuse me, have you seen my boys? My boys are the best boys in the world. Matthew chapter 20, you'll read this story. This is great. We don't know her name, but we know her boys. She's the mother of James and John. She walks up to Jesus himself and says, I'm their mom. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. When you get into heaven and you're up there on the throne, the creator of the universe, someone's going to be seated at your right hand. Someone's first in line. Now, I know I'm going to be like 7,568,242 at the dinner, okay? But somebody is going to be seated for eternity, have a chair at the right hand of Jesus, the Son of God. This mom goes up to Jesus in Matthew 20 and says, excuse me, have you seen my boys, James and John? Their dad nicknamed them the Sons of Thunder. Have you seen them? Oh, yeah, I know who they are. I just have one request. Can my boys, they're so great, can they be seated for eternity at your right hand? The other disciples are sitting there, and they're looking around going, she didn't just do that, did she? Oh yeah, oh, really? James and John, Sons of Thunder. Oh, that's a crash that's waiting to happen. Sons of Thunder. Oh, no, I don't think so. Could you see Peter going, wait a minute, I'm Pete. Or James, the half-brother of Jesus, going, wait a minute, I'm related. Oh, no, their mom got in there first, and here's a mom bragging on her kids. My boys are so good, they should be seated for eternity. You know what? Can I say this? Every mom in this place, can I tell you, every mom in this place, you need to go to Jesus and say, can my boys be so close to you for all of eternity? We ought to be pleading with Jesus, ladies, for our children, that our children would not just get into heaven by the edge of the skirt, but just that I just got in. No, you ought to plead to Jesus himself and say, can my kids has such a great life with you that they could be seated right next to you in heaven. That's what we ought to do for our kids. We ought to beg God for it. We ought to get in there. Someone else says, I'm in line. Say, excuse me, I know you're in line, but I'm talking to him about my kids. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about my kids. Step up, moms, because that's how crazy love is, that you'll actually ask Jesus for the love of your children to be that close to Jesus himself. Now, that's a mom who's willing to do anything. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? You really had the audacity to ask Jesus that? Yeah, I really did. God bless you, Mrs. Zebedee, for doing this for your boys. What have you done for the children? What have your parents done to make you who you are? Let's become at least half of what they believe we are, and I think we'll do okay. A mother's love will make them the greatest fan. That's what it does. It motivates us. Be your kid's biggest fan. A mom's love bears all things. A mother's crazy love will cause you to bear all things. I have to say this morning. Bearing babies. Can I tell you, thank you, Mom, for what you did for me. A mother's love will cause a mother to bear everything. It will cause them to keep that full strength. You know what? You know what's amazing about moms? Moms are there. They're in it in the long run because they're at full strength. I mean, these are their babies. They bore them. Their hips got adjusted because of these kids. Maybe the cesarean, they got cut open. Their bodies, their lives all of a sudden become changed. And the Bible says, that is, greater love has no one than this. I'll tell you, moms can bear so much. Moms bear all the way to that. My mom had 3 kids. My wife had 5 kids. And I got to tell you something. That is an amazing thing to me when a mom can bear kids. When you think about the idea of having children. I mean, we're in the hospital room for the first one 27 hours. Now, I've heard stories. I've been with some of you in some of those stories. 27 hours bearing up to labor. And it's one of the most amazing things that a woman can bear that kind of pain. I think I have pain. I have no idea. I remember going through the Lamaze classes. Did not prepare me for what was about to happen. We were in college. It was finals week. My person who was typing all my finals paper, my wife, was having our first child. 27 hours in the hospital of extreme pain and all this stuff. And I'm looking at this going, I had no idea it took this. I mean, I thought, okay, you go in, they're going to give you a shot. You're going to say push, and boop, out comes a baby. I mean, I know I'm simplifying that, ladies. I'm not trying to oversimplify, but I knew we were going to go through some pain. We got in there in 27 hours. And I'm thinking, this guy's not coming out. And we're in there, and we're doing all the Lamaze stuff, right? They teach you, you know, do the breathing. You're to be there. You're the coach. You're the dad. Come on, do the stuff. And so, you know, you're in there. You do the breathing thing. You got the wet cloth, and you're kind of, you know, giving that compress to kind of, there you go. Do you want some ice chips? And kind of going through that. Okay, let's do the breathing. Let's do the breathing. Yeah, old McDonald had a farm. Hee-hi. Oh, push. Yeah, that's it. You know, making up songs and doing this, she grabs at some point near somewhere between 20 and 27 hours, grabs a hold of my hand, pulls me down towards the bed, crushing the bones in my fingers, and said, "My God, why have you forsaken me? You did this to me." And all I could think of was, "Oh, I think they're broken. Let go." Oh, my goodness. And I think I've had pain. And I say, when I say this, mothers, why does God say honor your mothers? Because you have got to be crazy to do this. And then it was, you know, after he was born, after 27 hours, cesarean. And she allowed her body to be cut open to bring this child forth to give him life. He came forth. And afterwards I said, let's have another one. We had four more, three natural and another cesarean. It's an amazing thing to me. And I don't do pain relief. I think I'm in trouble. We were fishing this weekend. I had a hook that got in my finger right there. I still have my boo-boo. It's right there. Last night, I showed my wife. I said, I think it got infected. It really hurts. It hurts. And she's looking at me going, pain? You want pain? Let me grab your bottom lip and stretch it up over your forehead. You want pain? I said, but the hook got stuck in my finger. I have to say, mother's love says, I want to have children. I want to do this, because somewhere the picture isn't about the 27 hours. The snapshot came on the 28th hour, when all of a sudden out came that beautiful boy, and they went through and boom, he's crying. He has life. He's there. A miracle. Dreams. Life. It was happening right in front of us. I mean, miracle of miracles. A human being was in our arms, and he had air in his lungs, and he had blood that didn't even have to be our blood type. He had DNA that was us, but he has dreams, and he's going to be talking. He's going to have a life, and he's going to grow up, and he's going to be a man, and that life was right there, and that was the snapshot, and that's what motivates, and that's what says, I'm at full strength with this love. That's why women have a different capacity in love than men do. You see, when we go through pain, it's like, oh, please, shut down the world. The hook caught me. She can have a fever of 105. The kids are crying. They're hungry. Somebody's got to get picked up from school. The lawn needs to be mowed. And she is trekking it and just making it happen. And we're like, I got to shut down for a couple days. I'm calling in sick. That hook really hurt. Now, I'm not trying to, yes, I am. I'm overstating it. But can I tell you, mothers, what a blessing to bring forth life. A mother, but you know what's amazing to me? It's not the physical that makes this crazy. Although, I got to tell you, that whole procedure is kind of crazy. You know what's crazy, ladies, moms? It's not the physical things that you bear. It's the heart. I tell you, ladies, moms, you can hold a child in your arms, and you can think the world is yours. And that child grows up and it skins its knee and comes running to you. Make it better. And you kiss that child. Moms, the world is yours. And you can handle that. You can handle the first time their heart is broken. You can handle that. But when your child comes to you, moms, here's what just blows me away about your crazy love. When the first time your child walks up to you and says, you know what, you're the worst mother in the world. I can't wait to get out of this house. And your love, in all the capacity that it has, loves that child. Wow. Knowing, you know what you bear? You bear in your heart the heart of Mary, ladies. Mary holding that beautiful little child. A king shows up and says, here's some gold. A king shows up, here's some incense. The gold is, he's a king. The incense, he's a priest. Here's the strangeness of a gift. Here's myrrh, barium, it's death ointment. And in Mary's heart, from the moment he was born, her heart would bear the love of a mother to watch him go through what he went through. Ladies, God bless you, moms. Let's honor our moms who have come into our lives, that have given us life, the moms that have gone to heaven, that are still alive. Let's honor them regardless of anything else, because you know what? What we have put our parents through, oh my goodness, my mother is my greatest fan. But my mother has borne more than just me physically. She has bore with me. I mean, I remember in the middle of the night in California, junior high kid, walking up, sneaking into her purse, getting some money, getting the keys out of her car, going into the dining room on my way out the door. And as I'm standing there, I could hear the creak, creak, creak as she comes down the hallway. I'm going, oh, no. I remember stopping and going, what do I do? What do I do? She's coming around the corner, and I did. And she walks around. She goes, hey, what are you doing? I pretended to be sleepwalking. I'm telling you, when you're 13 years old, got it going on up here. I stood there until she shook me. Wake up. What's going on? I must have been sleepwalking. She goes, what are you doing down here? I go, I don't know. Oh, and here's your keys. Good night. My mother never said a word about that to my father. But I guarantee you that my mother knew I was up to no good. And love covers a multitude of sins. When she found the drugs in my room, when she found the alcohol, when she found this, when she heard the stories, when she knew what I was doing. Can I tell you something? My mom has always been my biggest fan. And what I put in her heart, that's the craziest love, a mom's love. No wonder why we honor moms today, because she bore with me. And she made me the man I am today. I'm with Abraham Lincoln. All that I am and all that I ever hope to be, I owe to my mom. My dad. Back that mother into a corner or attack her cub. And a mother can go from teddy bear to grizzly bear in 2.7 seconds. And you watch a mother, when you mess with her cub, she could be 5'1" and 80 pounds. And I'm telling you what, you could be Navy SEAL Team 6. You better run when her claws come out. Because when Mama Bear gets up on her haunches because you've attacked her cubs, I'm telling you something, crazy love gets a new definition. I've seen mothers do stuff, and I'm thinking, you just need to run. You did something to her or her kids, you just run. Come back in a day or two or an hour, because that's a mother's love. My wife's nickname is Mama Bear. And hell hath no fury like the scorn of a woman. And thank God that he didn't just make you mom so soft that when someone attacks your cubs that you have to wait for Papa Bear to come home. But Mama Bear, he made you strong inside, because your love will make you do things that are crazy. And you'll see a woman stand up to gang members in Detroit who are picking on her son, and they got knives and guns. And she walks in and she says, I don't care what you got. You mess with my kid, I'm going to slap you better. And all the kids are like, oh, it's someone's mom. Run. You see it. Now, you can be a cop. You can be a dad. You can be this guy going in, hey, your kid's knocking off. Jump him. But you get some mom running in there that's got crazy love, Mama Bear going on. And I'm telling you, I don't care your Crips or Bloods, you better run. Because God has given that woman a passion inside. She's like, I bore this kid for 9 months. I don't know what you think you're going to do to me. But you better not mess with my kids. That's full strength. Love one another with full strength. And the last is this. Not only is she, my mom is my biggest fan. My mom, she just bears everything. But my mom, a mother's love makes your mom the number one, number two. My wife said to me earlier, I shared this with her. She goes, what did you just say? I said, a mother's love makes moms number one, number two. She said, did you just call me a number two? I said, I didn't call you a number two. I'm saying, I think a mom's love makes her the best number two she can be. Number two, let me explain it this way. A mother is willing to sacrifice who she is for who others are. That's what's crazy about this whole thing. Your body will never be the same bearing children. Your heart will never be the same. Your hair will never be the same. Ladies, you do everything you can, but you know raising children, what it costs. And somewhere in all of this, can I tell you something? You are number one as a number two, because you're willing to take on number two and let your kids be number one. It's an amazing thing. It blows my mind. There was a guy by the name of Solomon. There's a guy by the name of Solomon. He was King David's son. He became king. And these two ladies, during the night, they must have lived pretty close to each other and probably relatives under the same banner, under the same clan, tribe. And one lady, during the night, rolls over. And she rolls over on her child. It's a horrible tragedy recorded in Scripture. She wakes up and sees that, and you know, this happens today. These kind of things do take place. She realizes her son is dead. Quickly thinking, she goes over, and I'm sure they know each other. In fact, they probably had their babies almost the exact same time. They're probably related because the babies, nobody can tell the difference. This happens all under the auspices of night. She takes her dead baby, goes over and lays it down by this other gal, takes her live son, brings it over. Well, when they wake up in the morning, there's weeping and wailing. And then, you know, mom, you know your kid. I don't care how much they. And she looks at this newborn. She says, that's not my son. That's my son. Oh, no. Your son is dead. Oh, that's terrible. What a horrible tragedy. Do these things happen today? Oh, yeah, there's been baby swaps and some crazy stories in the news of this stuff every year. She gets up and she says this. Well, the lady says, I'm going to go to the court. We're going to go see the king. And so they go see Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived. They go to him and said, this lady switched kids with me. This kid's dead. He's not my child. He's sitting there and he looks and he says, ma'am, I'm sorry. I can't tell the difference. And there's no witnesses and nobody can look at these two kids and figure this out. I'm sorry. There's just nothing. I'm sorry, ma'am. And here's this lady who's now got this dead child that's not her own. And she knows it. And here's this other lady going, I just got away with it. I have got me a living baby. I have a son who will take care of me as I grow old. Solomon says, I don't know what to do. So since I can't tell the difference between the two children, here's what we're going to do. Bring me the child. Guards, come here. And they bring the guards. Says, I'd like you guards, go ahead and take this child since you both want it. And obviously you both can't have it. Let's go ahead and saw that child in half. And you can each have a half. And you know what happened? A mother's love took place. And the real mother says, no. Let her have the child. Because a true mother is going to rather have the child living than to have half a dead child. And Solomon said, bring me the child. You're not the mother. You'd let this child get sawed in half. This is the true mother. Here you go. Wow, a mother's love. Willing to sacrifice everything for her children. That's an amazing thing. I was going to show you guys a video to close the service. As I was going through, I found the E-Trade baby, and I thought, oh, that'll work. I found another one about Adolf Hitler, and I thought, this is not a show. This is not a service to show Adolf Hitler. You know, in the 30s, he built all these huge stadiums is what the video showed. So I'll tell you instead of showing you. And he built these stadiums, had all these sporting events. Nobody had any idea that this guy was amassing the Nazi regime and what was about to take place, where between 5 and 6 million Jews alone and then close to 12 million humans would be slaughtered in ovens and cattle cars and gas chambers. A family, a gentleman by the name of Solomon Rosenberg. True story, very true story. Solomon Rosenberg. I thought, okay, I'm watching this video. I went and did some research. Solomon was married. He had two boys, Jacob and David. David was a little handicapped. They got arrested. They were Jewish. They were taken to a concentration camp, but it was a work camp. The only difference between the two camps is this. The work camp, you don't go to the gas chamber as long as you can work and build weapons for the Nazi regime. So as long as they were working, they were okay. And every day when they would come back from their work sites, he was really concerned about his son David, because David, the younger of the two boys, was handicapped. And he worried about the day that he could no longer do his work, that they would take him to the gas chamber. So every night when they got back together at the camp from their work, he would do a head count. He'd grab his wife and his two boys, and they're among thousands and thousands of Jews in this camp. He would gather them together. They would sit and they would pray, and they would say this prayer, thank you, God, that you gave us life today. And every day he would do that. One day, until that night that he feared the most, he came back from his workstation. Solomon Rosenberg got back to the place where he and his family always met to have that prayer. And he couldn't find them. He couldn't find their faces in all the crowds. He started going everywhere looking for his wife and his boys. He couldn't find them. Pretty soon he saw this boy huddled in a corner. And he went over there. It was Jacob, his oldest. He went over and Jacob was weeping. And he was huddled and he was crying. He says, no, Jacob. Jacob, tell me it didn't happen. Tell me it's not true. Tell me that it didn't happen. They didn't take him, did they? He said, Father, they said he was too weak to do his work. They've taken him to the gas chamber, to the ovens. Your mother, where's your mother? She's strong enough. Surely she's here. He said, Father, David was so scared. Mother came along and said, Son, I'll go with you. You won't go alone. Don't be afraid. Mom is going with you. And together they held hands as they walked. And I could just see her saying, Son, look at me. Look at me, David. Hold my hand. And a mother's love is always number two. But she's the best. Number two. And she sacrificed her life so that her son wouldn't go to that chamber alone. An incredible story of a mother's love. Can I tell you something today? It doesn't surprise me that God says in his word, honor your mothers. This is right in the Lord. Today I honor my mother. She is my biggest fan. She's had 3 heart attacks, a couple stints and bouts. They've had to paddle her on the tables until the Lord takes her home. Many of you today, you're thinking about your mothers in a snapshot, some great days and maybe some rough days. For me, I'd love to take a snapshot of the best days, thinking about my mother, thinking about those good days. But can I tell you, for whoever you are, you have this going for you. Your mother could be honored because she gave you life. Your mother should be honored because she believed more in you than you did in yourself. Let us honor our mothers today. And can I say this? She spent her life, she gave up so much to bring life to you. Just the fact that she brought life to you changed everything in her world. For some of the mothers, that might have been a scary thing, and maybe they took off when you were young. For most of you, your mother's been there for most of your life. Today, I say to you, honor your mothers. Let's stand together. Isn't that a great scripture? Love one another at full strength. I say to you in the benediction today, love one another at full strength. That kind of love will cover a multitude of sins and all the little mistakes, all the little problems, all those things that seem so big, maybe they'll be washed away. And maybe we can honor them by who we are in our lives and our heritage. Father, as we go from this place, you remind us once again of Mary or Mrs. Zebedee who wanted to brag about their kids or cherish all these things in their heart. Today, we cherish within our hearts the fond memory of our mothers. And today we honor them, whether it's over a meal, a prayer, a phone call, a flower that sits by a tombstone that just reminds us of the life and the love that someone gave to us. And we thank you more than that. We thank you today that Jesus Christ brought that love to us. And so, God, we take that to our world in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.